I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They are now 2-7. We've got the bye coming up here. And to talk about everything, every single Monday, you guys know, win, lose, or draw, Nathan Zagura joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he joins us now. Hi, Nathan.
What's going on, Nick? How you doing?
You know, it's another Monday here, and it's great to have you. Had a wonderful weekend, just in general. Life is good. Specific to yesterday's matchup, did you see that as a regression or just like a bad matchup specifically for this Browns team and the way they're kind of put together?
No, I just think it was Browns did not play a good game. I think they were outplayed in all three phases. You know, offensively, you knew it was going to be a game that was going to test Jameis Winston's patience. We knew that the Chargers were going to play a lot of zone, especially on first and second down, a lot of two high safeties, a lot of shell coverage, and force him to be, you know, patient and pick away at it and dink and dunk down, and also called for the Browns to try to run them out of those looks. And unfortunately, you know, couldn't get any more push on the offensive line. Nick Chubb was hit on average once again at the line of scrimmage, and it's clear that, you know, he's still working his way back. And then, you know, Jameis had the three interceptions. And, you know, last week obviously had some that were dropped. And this week, unfortunately, they did drop a couple, but they caught the majority of them. Made a great play in the corner of the end zone after that 8-minute drive to start the second half that I think really kind of was the backbreaker. And, you know, the Browns offensively had four straight possessions in the second half that got into Chargers territory that ended with interception, 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 blocked field goal. Special teams had the blocked field goal for them trying to make a kick and then also gave up the big punt return that set up the first touchdown. You had blown coverages on defense. So, yeah, it just wasn't a good performance. And the score, I think, certainly was indicative of that. And it was a game that you really had to win. You know, the Chargers are a team that you were going to have to catch to make the playoffs. And it would have been great to have that head-to-head win to get to 3-5 and instead, you know, or to 3-6, I'm sorry. And instead, here you sit now at 2-7.
Nathan, you mentioned the couple big plays. I thought the blown coverage in the second one, it could be a debate. Is it, like, was it on Denzel? Was it on Juan Thornhill? Each player both took their own responsibility for it. How did you see that one? Was it just miscommunication?
Yeah, that you're talking. The first one was the one between. The second one was Denzel just didn't get the call that he was supposed to be in cover three, and he was sitting down as though he were playing cover two when the rest of the team played cover three and gave up that vertical. The first one, you know, I don't know the exact call, but if there are only two possibilities, if it was cover two, then that, and that's what it appeared to be. It certainly was cover two on the other side of the field. You had the Mike Ryan linebacker running, you know, up the middle, being that deep safety, and then you had the two deep safeties on the outside that I think it looked like Thornhill kind of bit on Ladd McConkey's post out of the slot instead of getting vertical when number one goes vertical and getting to the outside there. Denzel was clearly playing cover two. Now, the only thing that I could think of that it could have been a miscommunication is if they were actually playing cover six, which is half the field cover two, which would have been the other side, and then this side with the trips would have been cover four, which means Denzel should have carried that vertical and Juan Thornhill would have had the vertical over the slot. It's hard to say because I don't know the exact call on that defense. It appeared that Denzel thought that one was cover two as well. And if it was, then that would have been on Thornhill. If it was quarters or on that side of the field in a cover six scenario, then that would have been on Denzel. But it really doesn't matter as much as it matters that it happened. And the first one happened on a 3rd and 21. And you cannot give up touchdowns on plays like that.
Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I heard you and Andrew talking about this at the end of the game. The idea that the Chargers didn't run the ball near the end of the game. I'm just curious whether that was more about where the Chargers were, about that was maybe saying something about the Browns.
I was just surprised they didn't run it. I mean, it seems that's very much the Harbaugh way, and it was at that point the clock was their biggest friend, so it just didn't make sense for me from just a strategy standpoint. Obviously, they did just fine in the game, and it really wasn't going to affect the outcome either way, but I just thought it was surprising from that standpoint, and they just had to run the clock out. It was a three-possession game, and they came out, and I think on one of those possessions went three straight passes and ended up giving the ball back to the Browns, so I just thought that was odd, nothing really more than that.
Is Nick Chubb struggling? Is that more on Nick Chubb or is that more on the offensive line or a combination?
I think Nick Chubb's working his way back. I think we saw in some of those the vision is there, the ability to cut is there, but the acceleration out of it is not what we're accustomed to. You know, for the season, he's averaging 2.7 yards a carry, but he's averaging, you know, 2.6 yards a carry after contact. So he's just not getting any runway. He's not getting any room. He's basically being hit at the line of scrimmage on every carry. And so that's that part of it's on the offensive line. You know, the league leaders or the guys who are at the top of the league are right around 3.5 yards after contact per carry typically. So, you know, that's something certainly that you can look at. But it really, to me, has been more about, you know, Nick Chubb not really getting a lot of opportunity from the line. And then also when he gets it, you know, he hasn't been the same. Just to give apples to apples, Nick Chubb in 22 was 3.5 yards after contact per carry and averaged 5 yards a carry. In 21, he was 4.2 yards after contact and averaged 5.5. Going back to 2020, which is the last one I'll do here, he was 4 yards after contact, averaged 5.5. So in traditionally, he's getting a yard and a half more after contact than he currently is, and he was also getting a yard and a half down the field more before taking contact than he currently is. So it sounds like it's a combination of both of those things.
Nathan, looking to the deadline tomorrow, obviously the big name out there is Zadarius. Do you think that yesterday, the result of yesterday's game, maybe pushed this organization to being a little bit more aggressive at the deadline and maybe opening up some more moves there?
Yeah, I would think so. You have to be realistic about where you are and then what that means in terms of your ability, you know, to play in the postseason this year. And I think it just means you kind of have to look a little bit more at, you know, next year and 25 and beyond and figure out who are the key players that are going to be on your team in 2025 and beyond. And then everybody else at that point, you know, you want to see those players and the others, you know, if you can return some value for them, that makes a lot of sense. So I think, yeah, 2-7 and just being realistic about where you are, you're tied for the worst record in the NFL at this point, you know, playoffs feel very, very unlikely right now. And so, yeah, I think that would help them become more sellers than they could have been. And if you won that game, you know, then you talk yourself, okay, we go and you beat New Orleans, who just fired their head coach. They're struggling. And then you'd say, okay, well, now Thursday Night Football against the Steelers actually is a game that matters. Maybe it's a little bit different. But it kind of feels like, yeah, that result and the way in which it happened, the three interceptions by Jameis, it all kind of added up to me to saying, okay, we have to be realistic about where we are right now and then obviously have an eye towards the future.
Nathan, we have 9 2-win teams in the NFL right now. It seems like a lot more than we typically have. Why do you think that is?
It's the most since the 70s. I saw that stat earlier today. I don't know. I think there's been some bad ball around the league this year. And you know, typically it's a league that's built on parity, right? That's what it's supposed to be all about. But this year, there's really kind of been anything but. You've had just some teams that have not been able to get the job done. And to have 9 teams, you know, more than a quarter of the league have 2 wins at this point in the season, it's really stunning, honestly. And I don't have the answer for you as to why it's happening, but it is stunning.
Nathan, how much of yesterday's offensive issues were on Jameis and how much was maybe on the coverage and obviously what the Chargers are doing so darn well?
I think, you know, this is Jameis, right? Jameis is going to be able to throw for a lot of yards. He's typically going to be able to throw for a lot of touchdowns, but he's going to throw a lot of picks. The last time he was a full-time starter, Jameis Winston, you know, led the league with over 30 interceptions. He's thrown now 102 in his career. So I think it's just, and you go back to the Baltimore game, I mean, they dropped a few that should have been interceptions. So that's just kind of, at this point in his career, we kind of know who Jameis is, with the good, the bad, all of it. And there is certainly substantial good, and then there is also the downside that he will throw the ball to the opponent from time to time. So, yeah, I think it was just, I thought he didn't see it as well as he did against Baltimore, and I think part of that is, you know, the Chargers are so committed to kind of those shell coverages and play them very, very well, you know, whereas you got a lot more single high looks, which is a lot more opportunity for Jameis Winston in one-on-one situations, either on the outside or, you know, when you're getting guys trying to run those combination routes to clear out and, you know, get those underneath. Now, when they did get some of those that were open, he threw it. The one of Jordan Akins comes to mind, but at other times, I don't think he saw it quite as well, and at times was maybe looking downfield, hoping for something to come open instead of taking some of the layups that were there to him. There was a 3rd down and 4 where he had Judy wide open for a 1st down and instead kind of held it, and it ended up being a negative play.
Yeah, a bright spot, Nathan. Cedric Tillman finds the end zone again, another 70-yard game. Did the light bulb just go on? Why, in the past 3 weeks, he's been incredible.
Yeah, and that part of it's also opportunity, right? I mean, he's now out there every snap. He's playing with confidence. He's playing with speed. If you look at what he's been able to do over the last three games, you know, he's been one of the best receivers, most productive receivers in the National Football League. For the people who play fantasy football, he's the number one PPR receiver over the last 3 weeks in the NFL. 32 targets, that's first in the NFL. 255 receiving yards, that's fifth. He's got three receiving touchdowns, that's tied for second. So he has been sensational. I'm pretty sure it's 22 receptions as well, which is in the top five. So he's been a top five production receiver now over the last 3 weeks. He's looked great, and he had one, you know, that he would say got away from him in this one down at the goal line, and then a couple plays later it ends up being an interception. You would have loved to see that one be, you know, a touchdown, hit him right in the chest, but that did not turn out to be.
Nathan, we appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff as always, and enjoy the bye. Going anywhere special?
No, I'll just be here, kind of a little staycation, which will be, it'll be very, very nice. Get to spend some time with the family and watch football on Sunday, and we'll see how it all unfolds around the rest of the NFL.
I mean, the Saints kind of looks gettable now, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they're a team in, you know, obviously a team in a little bit of disarray. They just lost to the Panthers at home. They fired their coach, so we'll see what that ends up looking like by the time we get there in 2 weeks.
We just need a couple teams more to keep firing their coaches, and I think we got a chance here. Nathan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you, and a great job on the broadcast with Andrew yesterday.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So I know we're going to get into a lot of what he had to say there. But, yeah, I mean, I tried to get, you know, hey, is this about regression? Is this just a bad matchup? And I think Nathan kind of came with, it's just a bad performance.
I'm cool with signing up for that. It just might be a little too late, though, Nick. You know, that was the chance to go ahead and buy a lot of people back into the Browns for the season. And it just kind of, it's gone now.
Yeah, but clarity is not the worst thing you can possibly have. And you guys can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken and Anthony, the morning boys.
Why didn't you do your thing?
I tried a little more subdued this time. On Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra Channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. And Nathan did get into the Jameis Winston performance and how much of that was on Jameis. Quintessential Jameis? Is that where we're going with this? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We do have the trade deadline to get to as coming up at 4. We will be 24 hours away from the trade deadline in the NFL. Daryl Ryder's going to join us later in the show. This is flu game. He's not feeling well. Daryl's flu game. And by flu game, I mean he's got the snivels and he's going to join us from home. But that is just like Michael Jordan eating bad pizza.
He blamed the pizza.
Whatever. The point is, it's the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Even better, some are saying. Me.
Do we need to hear Daryl do like a, and that's what I think about the Browns, or do we just want him just to like just really game it through?
I think he's got to go for like a, like one of those where you're like, oh, dude, please don't do that in the microphone.
He's going to have a moment where we all think he just died on the air because he just doesn't say anything because he's trying to like, you know, catch himself because he doesn't have a cough button in his house.
I think he's got to.
Install a cough button, like, get this thing going.
If I ever get to do this, I'll be doing that.
By the way, Daryl did text me today. He said congrats on the show, and then also said happy to know that somebody got the job that will take care of my buddy Nick Wilson. And I said to him, well, now it falls on you to make sure that we make sure that we give Nick hell.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that went from thank you to bleep you in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it was very nice of Daryl, and then I completely just crapped all over it.
That's all
get
right.
Get that ass.
I think that's Daryl. Also... I think that's part of the show.
Daryl.
I think we go from thank you to bleep you in like 0 to 60, something like that.
Well, I thought it was going to be like nice working with you for 9 years, you know, that whole type of thing. It's like, no, just please. I'm happy somebody that is there that can take care of my friend Nick Wilson, my dear friend Nick Wilson.
I just also like that I'm like a toddler that needs to be attended
that's
to.
That's kind of what it is. Like, I don't even know this or not, but that's how everyone at the station looks at you, by the way.
That's all right.
This is adult daycare is what this is.
Hey, listen.
I'm in charge of making sure you don't go off the rails. People know that you have a chance to go off the rails at any point, and I'm just going to calm you back down.
And I will say that you chose the wrong guy.
You're very good at it, though, and that's why you get to stay around. But, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for unfiring me. Yeah. I didn't realize what a joy this was.
Yeah, that's what
is. It's great. Well, thank you.
It's a great compliment, by the way. It's a great compliment.
Thank you for allowing me to stay on my own show.
Our show. Got to get that right.
So here's the thing. I don't put everything for the offense yesterday on Jameis. I don't. I don't think. To me, this was another iteration of half the losses we saw. Like, yeah, he was bad. They did a good job of covering his first read. He clearly felt the pressure very early on. He got the crap kicked out of him. I don't think the O-line played well. They certainly didn't run the ball well. I mean, the Chargers basically said, we're going to stop the run game, and then we'll see. And basically, unless you get that going, we're just going to kind of live and die with James.
And that's what the two-high safety does, right? It dares the run game to do something, and Nick Chubb wasn't able to do anything. Like, I'm worried about Nick Chubb. I went into the pregame worried about Nick Chubb. I'm worried about Nick Chubb.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the Chubb fest here in a minute, but I just
See, this is why they had me babysit you.
I think with the Jameis thing, he was bad yesterday. I think everybody was bad. Like, the numbers don't look that bad. The box score doesn't tell you how bad. Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah, I mean, Tillman had a couple nice plays. Jerry Judy, I thought, had a couple nice plays as well. But it's slim pickings to try to find people that, like, we bring Nathan on, and I'm very aware that he, you know, his paycheck has a Browns logo in the top right corner, and I'm not going to try to put him in a bad spot or anything.
He works for the Browns?
Yeah, he works for the Browns. Did you know that?
Did you hear about this?
Did you see about this? He works for the Browns. And so I try to make sure that we don't jam him up or put him in a bad spot, and like, the best I could do is, hey, that's Cedric Tillman. How about him yesterday? Great.
I mean, well, okay, but to get back to Jameis, I think it's important to note, like, for anybody who might actually be thinking, what do we need in DTR? Maybe let's go see that. No, because I just think, like, I'll be honest with you. I don't think any quarterback is sitting in front of that. And again, Jameis was bad. But this is a very similar conversation to what we were having about Deshaun half of the time when he was healthy enough to play was, well, yeah, he wasn't good, but, like, look at the context around him.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, it was a total failure offensively.
So it sounds like you're not putting that much on Jameis for yesterday.
No. The loss is on him, but it's not solely on him.
What, like a pie chart, or what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah. The blame game? Oh, yeah.
And, you know, blame chart? Yeah. What, 72% goes to Jameis? Like, what are we doing?
And I'll be honest with you. I thought the only egregious interception, there was an egregious almost non-interception, by the way, one that was dropped. Thank you again. We needed that one. Mm-hmm.
The end zone one?
But, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, other than that, like, he threw into a couple tight windows. Like, to me, that's not the worst Jameis you're going to see,
There's a part of me that, like, even with the interceptions being as late as they were in the game, I'm kind of like, well, he had to make something out of nothing. At that point, he was Leroy Jenkins. He's just going to go for it at that point. And I think Kevin said as much after the game, essentially.
Yeah.
I can't blame him too much there.
But, like, I just continue to come back to the offensive line. Here's the thing. Like, DeJuan wasn't great yesterday. He was, like, the third biggest problem on the offensive line. That just and again, I don't even know how much that is. Just the Chargers have two future Hall of Famers.
I think what you saw, though, is a lot of people. I noticed after the game, and I noticed even during the game, no one's like, "Hey, bring on DTR."
Yeah,
no one's clamoring for DTR. No one's telling us that we need to have DTR. Jameis still offers up the idea that he can throw a 330-yard game like he did 2 weeks ago and beat Baltimore. And if that's the best that we get, that's the high of the high that we get, I think fans are signing up for that. Yeah, his lows might stink, but DTR doesn't have a 330-yard game beating Baltimore in him.
And I think that's what's going to keep people invested for a while. One, we saw DTR against Cincinnati. He had every chance to win that game, and it didn't happen. Two, I think people are okay. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. If there was a salient young quarterback to go to, we'd be going to him right now. Because through those first two games, you've seen Jameis.
Right.
And we still haven't seen the worst Jameis. Like, I really have to sound that alarm. Like, you're going to say it can't get worse than yesterday.
It can't get that much worse.
Yes. Yeah. He can throw five picks. He can go full Peterman.
Ooh.
He can
Nathan Peterman?
He can go
five
interceptions.
He still threw for 235 yards, by the way, which is something that Deshaun Watson had not done this year. But he had a passer rating
of 50. How much of that was on the last drive?
Yeah. Well, he threw the ball 46 times, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw the ball an absolute ton.
Yeah.
46 times is ridiculous.
Like, let's not give him credit for 235 if you chuck the ball 46 times and most, and not most.
Oh, no, I'm not.
A good deal came on that last drive.
I'm not. He was bad. I don't know that he can get that much worse. You say that he can. Okay, fine. We'll split hairs on it. Bad is bad. It's just he's a mixed bag, and I think the mixed bag might be something that maybe fans will enjoy seeing as opposed to what DTR is. I think we just know what DTR is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll get to the... I do think we're going to get to it. You got to find out what you have in
the
DTR.
The idea, though, that if you throw Jameis out there, we beat a Ravens team that was on a five-game winning streak. You can beat any team in football when Jameis plays great Jameis. And I think that's what fans will have to hang on to.
He's got
the one time a year, the rest of the season, you get great Jameis and everything comes together. That's what people are going to have to hang on to.
I do think that this is an industry of hope. And at some point, we're going to look at this and go, well, he's throwing for a lot of yards. They're empty calories.
Aren't you happy we started a new show on a day like today?
Not really.
Aren't you thrilled this is the show we get to start this off with?
Could have really gone for a win. Would have been nice.
Yeah, and maybe back-to-back wins and then a lot of momentum and positivity. And people are feeling back in on the Browns. Instead, we get what I believe to be is the absolute lowest point of this Browns season right now.
But I'm going to make a prediction because you're right. This is the lowest point. Somehow, because you spiked up.
Yeah, we did.
Now this is the sugar crash.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Like, that's where you are. And because of that, I'm going to make a prediction. At some point in the next four games, you're going to call for DTR.
No chance.
I'm not saying you specifically.
No. Say, put it on me. No chance I will call for
Mr.
DTR.
Mr. Flip-Flop. No, I'm kidding. Mr.
No
I want to see hope. Better? Mr. Jonathan Pander? Did we go
no,
there?
No, I thought... what was it? Peterlin Pander? I thought, or the Pander Peterlin? What was that?
Pander Peterlin. That's what it was.
I think that's what it was.
Panda Peterlin. Peterlin.
Jonathan Pander sounded like a 1919 baseball player.
It didn't
player.
Sound great.
I might have played for the White Sox or the White Stockings that tried to steal the World Series.
You definitely took some money from a guy named Lefty.
When you say Pander, I need people to know out there, all you mean is just like, you know, be excited about something or have belief in something or enjoy something.
And then you're like,
oh, he's a panderer. It's like, oh, Cavs were great at 8-0. You panderer. Having fun watching Donovan Mitchell play basketball. What a pander bear.
This is an all-time polisher
for you.
You
can find it at the zoo or something. A pander bear.
You trying to turn your absolute homerific.
You know what you're doing. You're going to turn me into somebody that's just pessimistic, doesn't like anything, craps on everything, so I don't get called a pander bear.
Wait. So it's all my fault because you went too far on the Ravens
win? Fortunately, I can't be broke that easily, Nick. I'm going to enjoy the things that I enjoy. I'm going to like the things that I like, and you can't change my direction on that.
Do not make me do that.
You can't change my direction on that.
Do not challenge me like that.
I need you guys all to know, though, when he says pander bear, all it is, it's a signal to say, oh, Jonathan likes something.
No.
Jonathan's happy with something.
It means Jonathan went way out on a limb on the embarrassing...
No limb for me.
No limb?
No, not at all. There was logic and reason attached to it.
Play the open. Play
we
what we
saw
the
it
open.
Last year with Joe Flacco. There was reason to think it would happen again.
Play it again.
For 1 week it did.
You need this.
I'm not doing the two or three more games. I'm putting a lot into yesterday. And I absolutely love what I saw yesterday. And I do think it was a bigger deal than maybe some people are making it out to be.
But too many things went right for that to be a flash in the pan and a one-off.
You've been here for a decade. You have to know. You can't just say, well, too many things went right. Yes, that's when you should be most cynical about it.
All I have is a mountain of evidence that Stefanski knows what he's doing with other quarterbacks. It's so obvious what happened here. And sometimes when presented with the obvious, you got to accept it.
Mm.
It sounds like a guy having a good time enjoying a team that he thought was maybe something.
That sounds like somebody huffing glue.
Just to be let down.
Yeah.
Huffing glue.
Yeah. glue? I don't know. Yeah. Like, that sounds like somebody on an inhalant, not thinking logically about the team.
I want to drive myself to the methadone clinic after hearing that, okay? But that was me having some excitement. Like, I was into it. Man,
Jonathan,
I was so into it.
Jonathan, I'm your friend. I've been your friend since the beginning. I'm here to tell you. In the next 4 weeks, you will call for DTR.
There's zero chance. Mark my words. Mark the spot that we do this with the audio right now. Mark, there's no chance I'm calling for DTR.
We are. We are. So by the Chiefs game, Jake's
tiny and injured often.
Man, I cannot wait now.
What?
I honestly cannot wait for you to just go, you know what? I'm sorry. I think I've seen enough of Jameis.
There's
time for DTR.
There's a chance I call for Bailey Zappe before I ever call for DTR.
What? No, you know what then? I'm amending this to at some point in the next 4 weeks, you're calling for Bailey Zappe or DTR.
I took so much offense to the DTR side of this because you know how I feel about DTR. He's a preseason quarterback.
I'm on the record.
He's a preseason quarterback.
I've been on the record about Ohio State. Got a little bit more y'all.
I like when you match what I'm saying with my own voice, by the way. That's fun.
That's next on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, way for the Ryan Day hater. Good job out of you from going from, if he loses this game, we fire him, to not giving Ryan Day any credit for beating Penn State. That was quick. You hit him with the crossover.
I thought it was a disaster day, no pun intended, for the Ryan Day people that they like just doesn't like him because not only did you get the win, but then in the process of it, it's not like they looked so dominant that now you think Ohio State is some sort of national title contender.
But how do you not get that win and think, well, if you can win that game like that, where you come back, what was it, 10-0 at one point?
10-0 to start off, yeah.
To start off, and then you...
You held Penn State to 3 points in the final three quarters.
So basically you go 20-3 for
multiple
the final three quarters.
Multiple goal line stops, had the Drew Aller interception right before the halftime.
Like, and by the way, because people started to turn on the defense...
The defense was great, but it's very simple. It's not like you ran away with it. It was a fine game.
They're the number three team in the country.
You got yourself to the college football playoff. Ryan Day will live to fight another day. Pun intended once again. But like that's not a resounding exclamation point win for Ryan Day. Didn't lose your job there.
He didn't lose the game. What are you doing?
That's why it was the worst thing imaginable if you are one of the Ryan Day needs to be part of them. Well, I mean, it's not like I've been shy about it.
I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, no, because this is the problem. You are to whom I'm speaking.
Yeah, speak to me.
You said he can't do it. He can't beat the team. He got his third win over a top five team. And immediately
it's 3-6 now against top five teams.
Yeah, 3-6. Guys, that he can win them. He just hasn't won them. I don't know why I said guys.
Enough,
you're right there.
Which is the responsibility of somebody that would keep their job?
Yeah, well, no, but he did it. So, like, he did the thing that you wanted him to do. And then it becomes, well, James Franklin. That guy's an idiot.
James Franklin is an idiot.
Stay. Well, no. Both things can be true.
Coaches are basically bad at who can screw it up to go ahead and end up. It was almost like it was with Dan Lanning 2 weeks ago. Dan up on him was that he couldn't win the big one either. I haven't won a big one in Oregon yet. And then somebody's got to come out victorious. James Franklin just can't beat Ohio State. And that was the resounding result of that.
You're smiling because you know how disingenuous this conversation has become.
How was that disingenuous? What part of that was an exclamation point for Ryan Day?
Because it's not about James Franklin or Penn State. Ryan Day did the thing that you wanted him to do. He beat a top five team. And he did it on the road, by the way. And he did it after they spotted him a 10-point lead.
Yeah, they spotted him a 10-point lead because he went off to a miserable start to the game. Well, Will Howard got off to a miserable start to the game. No part of that team did you sit there and think, yeah, they can win a national title. That game right there, they can win a national title.
What that game should define.
But it didn't.
It's a top four team.
No, when it's all said and done, I think we all know Penn State is not going to be a top five team in the country.
Are they going to be a playoff team? Because I think they're going to be a playoff team.
Probably. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
That's what Ryan Day did. What was nice about Saturday for Ryan Day and the Day family is that they get to go ahead and put themselves in a college football playoff. And yes, I include his family in this when we talk about jobs, it involves everybody. It's not just a one-person thing.
I thought you were going to go like Ryan Day and the Knights. That's what he calls his family. I don't know if you're going to make another
like a 50s
name
band
bump
or something.
I think it'd be pretty cool if his family's name were actually the Knights, right?
He's a doo-wop band on the side?
Acapella.
Okay.
I think an acapella group.
Okay.
But still, like...
I mean, did you feel great? You being the Ryan Day supporter, did you leave that game thinking, my guy did it?
Yeah. Because he just beat Penn State on the road.
No, I just didn't.
And that's a playoff team.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I looked at that. That was not the. That was not an exclamation point.
So he had to beat him by like 35.
It did not look as sloppy as it did. Now the defense was great. I gave the defense how much credit already? The defense was great. That was
I didn't hear a lot of credit being handed out by you or anybody else.
I said they allowed 3 points in the final three quarters. Like your end result is Drew Aller and that again the interception right before the half. Like that was. The goal line stands. Like Ohio State's defense came to play. You're going to need the offense to come to play if you want to beat some of the better teams in the country.
I'm sorry. Did I miss the point where they had 179 yards rushing? Did I miss
the run game was good.
Did I miss the two touchdowns
they fell
by,
the run game.
By Will Howard?
I think you need more than Will Howard.
But like 179
what do you mean,
yards
the
from the
fumble before the end zone? The interception? Wait, you want to go down this road with Will Howard?
Yeah, no, I can go for... I'm not saying Will Howard played a perfect game, but Will Howard...
He was far from perfect.
No, but Will Howard... Okay, so he had two oopsies. He also had two touchdowns.
Two major oopsies.
And he had two major... Hey, you build yourself out by having two passing touchdowns.
Jeez, clean up both those oopsies, and maybe we're having a different conversation right now.
It's just... This is the impossible standard. Like, having a conversation... I'm going to go there.
It's not impossible.
With you people... Because it's people. you, Ohio State, Walmart, Ohio State fans.
I'm not an Ohio State fan at all, so I can't be a Walmart Ohio State fan.
But you have to be the face of them because you also didn't go to Ohio State.
I don't root for Ohio State in the slightest bit. I don't have to be that guy.
But you talk like an absolutely irrepressible homer who, I'll be honest with you.
Homer's the one that wants to fire Ryan Day?
Yes, 100%.
Are the homers the one that wants to get rid of Ryan Day?
Yes.
Does that put you in the homer category?
Yes, 100%. Because here's the thing. The homer is, well, Ryan Day's the problem, and Ohio State deserves better, right? Instead of just, well, they're like two plays away from being 8-0 and everybody that we thought they were going to be. Like, I don't, but by the way, homers, haters, no, it's a bunch of people who didn't go to Ohio State outside of Lima who just want to fire Ryan Day because they're bored with being the third best team in the country. That's all this is. You can't look at this and go, good job out of you, Ryan Day. We'll see in the Michigan game, and after that, we'll see whether you're in the Big Ten title game. We'll see in the playoffs.
Got to play Indiana first.
Like, I can't wait for that because they're going to dust Indiana.
They're going to dust Indiana.
Yes, Indiana is a really good team that has played no one, and that is. Are you going to give them his flowers?
Well, that's what I was saying about Penn State going into the game.
Are you going to give him his flowers for beating Indiana, or is it immediately going to become? Well, of course, you should do that. They could beat him by 70, and the response would be, well, that's what you're doing.
No,
Ohio
if you
State.
Beat him by 70, it's an impressive thing. If you beat up on a team, kind of like what you saw Indiana do to Nebraska 2 weeks ago, where they just put the boots to him, that's an impressive thing.
But
going 21-17 against Nebraska and then playing a tight, close game against Penn State.
Still about Nebraska. Just still about Nebraska.
It was a lousy game. I can't just ignore it.
And they won.
It was a lousy game.
Yeah, okay. This is a team who 20 years ago barely beat anyone. But they beat everyone
and
won a national
championship. You feel
right now
Ohio State can win a national title? This team right here, you feel like this is a national title team?
That's the kind of win that should make you say that.
You say it then. Say it, because I don't believe it.
Yes. I feel better about them winning a national championship now.
Better about them, or they are a national title? This is a national title
caliber
team.
That's not how this works. No. They have the talent to win a national championship, and then every week they play, and then you go, at the end of the season, you go, yes or no. You don't make that decision in November.
Sure you can if they're a national title caliber team.
Sure
yes, you
they can.
Can
if they're
yes,
slapdies. Not if they're a team that has a bunch of future NFL players that is 7-1.
Congratulations. They got into the playoff. That was the big goal. You beat Penn State. Now you're into the playoff. Doesn't matter really what happens the rest of the season. You're in the playoff. And Ryan Day will have a chance to prove himself there or he won't prove himself.
I'm just moving these goalposts for you here. It just feels so good to do.
Why?
I see.
No part of my commentary has changed at all.
216. I think that's the problem. 216-474-0092. What did Saturday's win over Penn State do for Ryan Day? Nothing, according to Jonathan Peterlin.
Very little.
We come back.
Very little.
We will be celebrating a very important milestone for this Browns team next on 92.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.